What we're dealing with here, littering air, is a complete lack of respect for the law.
And smoke in the reef.
Called the dust pop.
We live in a society of laws.
Dust pop?
Yeah.
No, that's not real.
This thing of weed.
Takes one solid weekend of training to get that bag.
Hello, ladies and gents. Welcome back to the Police Academy podcast. This episode is a great interview with Sheriff Mike Smith from Utah County, Utah. We are talking about teachers with guns. That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Teachers in Utah, as well as just regular citizens, can carry guns in schools. Now, this was kind of I admit I was ignorant to the fact that this is a state issue, not a federal issue. Gun-Free Zones Act of 1990 and the Gun-Free Schools Act of 94 are federal laws, but they don't prohibit people with concealed carry permits from carrying in schools. So all of this talk about protecting our kids in these gun-free zones really should be focused at your state legislature, because if teachers cannot carry, if parents cannot carry in a school, it's the state who has created a law that restricts that right. So if you're one who believes that the best and primary way to stop a maniac from coming into a school and massacring a bunch of kids, including your own, if you have them, is to arm teachers, then pay attention. All right. Before we get started, if you want more Police Academy podcast, make sure you go subscribe over at patreon.com. You get every full-length episode. You get early release episodes like this one. This one was recorded on July 30th. And if you're not a member, you're getting this not that day. It's going to be delayed by a few weeks at least. You get community access to our Discord chat group. Lots of cops in there. Lots of people who just got into a career or are still looking to get into a career in law enforcement. So great resources there from the community. Of course, now we have some merch that is on pre-order. Our shirts are on pre-order right now. We also have Tumblr 2.0 available for our top-tier members. But members get merch discounts. And if you want to check out any or all of that, go over to patreon.com, patreon.com, and subscribe to one of our three membership levels, and you won't regret it, I promise. All right, as I said, this is a state-controlled issue. States that allow CCW holders to carry in their schools include Alabama, Alaska, Idaho, Illinois, Michigan, Missouri, New Hampshire, Oregon, Rhode Island, South Dakota, and last but not least, the one we're talking about today, Utah. If your state is not on that list, it's because your state has restricted that right. So learn something new every day. I think that's a really important point in this conversation, is that it's not a federal issue. This is a state issue. And people need to start, as Sheriff Smith says, start writing your representatives and bugging them about this, saying, this is important to me. Our kids should be protected. Let's change this in our state. Talking to you, Nebraska. Oh, and there's one last thing before we get started. I neglected to tell you where to go get merch for the show. It is at policeacademypodcast.com/GSF. It's a mouthful, but you know the name of the show, so do that, plus.com, and you'll find our store at the website. Pretty easy. Right now, our shirts are on pre-order. Hopefully, by the time this goes live to the public, they'll be available, but they are open for pre-order right now, and they are likely to sell out very quickly. So if you are interested in getting some of our merch from GSF, then go check it out. That's policeacademypodcast.com/GSF. All right, let's get on with it. Without further ado, Sheriff Mike Smith, Utah County, Utah. Enjoy the show. Sheriff, thank you so much for taking the time to spend, you know, with me and with our audience today. This is obviously a hugely important topic. And, you know, as we were just talking, I was supposed to have a guy on earlier this week to talk about this very issue. He's developed an app called LifeSpot, and he'll be on later for the audience, so stay tuned for that. But, you know, this app that alerts authorities to the fact that there's, for example, an active shooter going on in a school, and it helps them pinpoint the location of the shooter so that when authorities arrive, they can go right to the source. So that's an important tool. Obviously, it is a tool. But today we're going to talk about a different tool that you guys are implementing. And it's a hugely controversial topic, politically speaking, which is why it's been hard to implement, I think, nationally. So where do you land in this debate? Obviously, your county does allow teachers to carry firearms in schools. And you know, we're going to talk about your program that you're using to help train them. Where do you land personally, if you're willing to speak on the political side of this, when it comes to arming teachers in schools?
Yeah, so just to clarify, it's actually our state. Our state allows right. through concealed carry that a teacher can carry. And then this year, they actually, Utah has a law now for universal carry. You don't even need a concealed carry permit anymore.
Okay.
Me personally, the reality is teachers are carrying in schools. They can and they do. We've had a couple incidents happen in my area. One in particular where we had an active shooter called in. We had SWAT everybody else in the school. And through that process, we came across several teachers who were armed. And we knew we probably had teachers that were armed. So for me, processing this and, you know, active shooter and school safety in my career has been at the top of the list for me of things I have a passion for and want to work on. So the reality is teachers are carrying. The schools have honestly taken a don't ask, don't tell policy. They can't stop them, but they don't want any part of it. My biggest fear is knowing the teachers are carrying and they have zero actual training to do that in a school. I think that's a big problem and something that needed attention. So we sat down and came up with some curriculum that we thought could help teachers better prepare if they're going to do it anyway. This program isn't about arming teachers. It's about getting teachers thinking about what they're doing. If they choose to carry a gun at school, there is some liability that's associated with that. And it's not about going and buying a gun and taking it to school. You need to put in the time to train and know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm. Right. So that leads me directly in my next question. So is there anything that you would change? Obviously you don't write the laws, right? But is there anything you would change in Utah law regarding carrying in a school that would ensure that people who are carrying, as it stands now, anyone with a concealed carry, and now it sounds like even without, could carry in a school. So is there anything you would add to that if you were to rewrite this law to make sure that people who are carrying in such an important place in our society are well-trained?
Yeah, so your question is kind of a double-edged sword, right? So of course, I think training is very important. But anytime you breach that subject, you start to tread on the Second Amendment and somebody's right to bear arms. I believe training it should be an aspect. If you're going to carry a gun, I think personally you should take it upon yourself to receive training and to know how to use that gun. Whether that should be part of the law or not, with Utah going to a universal carry, they still have a concealed carry. I think it would be a good thing to have a more practical aspect of training involved in that and offer it. And that's one of the reasons why we did the Teachers Academy, was to offer that as a voluntary service. And the reality is teachers want it. We're starting a class next week. I'm turning teachers away. It filled up in less than a week after I announced it. I can't do enough of them to accommodate the teachers that want to go through this type of training.
Right. And I've heard that argument that, this idea that if you were going to start allowing teachers to carry and train them, that it wouldn't be fair to them because not only are now they teaching, but they're taking on a whole nother role without getting any benefit from it, right? Just from a strictly career standpoint. And I've always felt that was a very ingenuous disingenuous argument, rather, because there's always going to be a certain percentage of those teachers that would sign up for this the second they hear about it, regardless of any extra benefit. That's just a part of what makes many of us who we are. That desire to stand up and fight for those who can't fight for themselves, in this case, kids. So it's good to see that your program is filling up like it is. It's exactly what I expected to see in a program like this.
I agree with you. It is, we're not asking the teachers to do our job as police officers.
Right.
We're going to be there for them. The standards, the statistics of how soon an officer is going to be on scene, since, you know, we come back to the early days of Columbine and, you know, I probably don't want to get into that too much, but some of the problems that occurred there, you know, we're seeing officers in schools now from the time it's reported within minutes. Mm-hmm. So I'm not asking the teachers to do our job, but I'm also not asking the teachers to be a victim. Right. You don't have to be a victim. There are a couple minutes that, you know, your school's going to go into lockdown. You do everything your school asks you to do. I'm not asking you to go out and hunt somebody down. I'm asking you to do what your school tells you to do. But if we can't get to you in before that bad guy gets to you, well, he's there. I'm sorry, but he's there to kill you. And you need to have a plan. You need I don't think it's fair for us as a society to just expect our teachers and students to be victims. It's okay for them to have a plan. It's okay for them to know how to defend themselves.
Right. I recently watched it's a Daily Wire production called Run, Hide, Fight. And it's about an active shooter in a school. Have you seen it?
Yeah. And that's part of our curriculum. We go over Run, Hide, Fight.
Oh, okay. A decent movie. I definitely recommend people watch it. If nothing else, it highlights, you know, there's aspects of Hollywood, of course, in there. It's a movie, so they're gonna make it entertaining. But I mean, it gives you an idea of what it would be like to be stuck in a school with a bunch of psychopaths with guns, without any way of defending yourself. And I think that is. It's frustrating for me, having grown up with guns and hunting and then being in law enforcement and the military. Guns are just a tool to me and people like you and I. It's really frustrating to see the resistance from, you know, the political side and society in general, the side of society that doesn't understand guns like we do, because we see it as a tool, just as we started the show. It is another tool. And I think there's just a lot of fear based on uncertainty, right? People are unfamiliar with guns. They've never held one. They don't know how they work. All they know is all they've been told is that guns are bad and guns kill people. And I think it's really easy for those people to gloss over and not think about the reality of a situation like that. You know, anytime I talk to someone who doesn't exercise their Second Amendment rights, I run them through just a simple scenario, right? If you're out in public and this scenario happens where you're going to die if you cannot protect yourself, would you take that person's life to defend your own or not, right? And the same applies here. And the answer is always, in reality, yes. Like, how many people do you know that would willingly give their lives up to protect no one else, just give their lives up because someone else said, I want you to die? I don't know of anybody. And the other side of the political spectrum hasn't given an answer. There is no answer, right? It's ban all guns, but that doesn't solve our problem because
that
guy still has a gun.
It's because it's not the problem. Yeah. You know, you can take away concealed carry laws. You can do all those things. Well, bad guys don't care about concealed carry laws. They never have.
Right.
They don't go out and get a permit. those laws are for law-abiding citizens. The bad guys don't care. Guns have always been around. I go back to when I was at school, and you know, it was common to walk through the parking lot of high school, and there was a shotgun or a rifle in a gun rack in a back window of a truck. That's just the way it was back then. The gun situation hasn't really changed. What's changed is society and people, and we need to focus on that and not the tool, as you know, the gun. That's not the problem. We're the problem, and we need to fix us.
Yeah, fix us. That is a tall order for sure. So let's talk about the program that you guys are doing. It's a 20-hour course, and
yes. We go through some of the scenarios. I don't delve a lot into different scenarios, but highlight some of them. We go over red flags that we've seen, some common statistics we're seeing that stick out, and kind of talk about stress inoculators, how they're going to function under stress, and kind of hit those things. So that's kind of the first class. One of the other classes we go over is we go over tactical medicine. So we teach stop the bleed. So and also one of the big things is we send those teachers away with a trauma kit. They go away with a tourniquet, and gauze, and all the stuff you need in a kit to be able to take care of a wound, a traumatic wound. One of the most probably popular aspects of the class is we teach de-escalation, and it's a combination of de-escalation and mindfulness. And these skills, and a lot of the skills we're teaching here, are skills that these teachers can use every day. So we're teaching them how to deal with an irate student, irate parent, and how to approach that in a manner that's going to bring the situation down and not make it worse. And we've had a lot of teachers and schools come back to us and say, hey, can you just come and teach that to our entire curriculum? We would love more of this. We have a, I don't know if you're familiar with the Virtra simulator. So we have a simulator that the teachers get a chance to go through an actual, for those that don't know what it is, you step up onto a stage, you're surrounded by screens, about 320 degrees of screens. And we immerse them in an active shooter situation. So they get to feel the stress of dealing with that. They have a gun that's a simulated laser point gun that, you know, if they shoot, it calculates where those shots are on the screen. You know, if they shoot a student that wasn't a bad guy, it's going to show that. So we put them through that scenario. We also go through a concealed carry class. So if they would like that permit, they'll leave with one. And one of the big things is we have a range day. And on that range day, you know, we don't know where these teachers are in their skill level. Some of them may be up here. Some of them may be down here, never had a gun before. So we go through the basics of firearms. We put them through a qualification. And we take them up into our hot house. And so we take these teachers in and we let them feel what it feels like to shoot inside a building. And then we clear the building and we put them in a room in the building and simulate a classroom in there. And we send bad guys in with simulation rounds. Those are paintball rounds. And we give the teachers paintball rounds. And they are instructed at some point to go into lockdown. And if anybody comes into their room, they defend their room.
Interesting. You know, a bunch of stuff in there. It was really cool. One, if people haven't experienced it, I like to see that you guys are taking them and shooting indoors, because that is a whole different experience than being outside in open air. A handgun shooting a handgun outside with no, nothing around you is not really all that loud. You don't feel a lot. You feel the recoil of the gun, but if you're inside, if you haven't ever done this, the experience is very different. You feel not only obviously the recoil of the gun, it's in your hand, but you feel the kind of shockwave from the explosion of the round. And it's odd. The sound is, I don't know what the decibel multiplication is, but it's several multitudes higher than what it is outside. So it's definitely something you want to have people familiar with before, you know, they're experiencing that in a real world situation. And sim rounds too. I mean, that's a different type of deal where you're giving them the opportunity where there's some skin in the game, literally, right? You've been hit with sin rounds, I'm sure. I've been hit with them, and most of the time you're going to lose some skin. So it adds that stressor that they're going to experience in a real active shooter situation. So that's great training. What kind of response have you guys had from the teachers that have gone through this? What are they saying?
They love it. They love it. They want more of it. So here's the thing. And you maybe were going to hit on this. 20 hours isn't a lot of time. You know, when you're talking about law enforcement training and this type of training, you know, we put our officers through hundreds of hours. You know, I was on a SWAT team as a SWAT commander for 18 years and, you know, hundreds and hundreds of hours working on these things. You know, we're not going to teach that level of skill in 20 hours, but the point of it, and one thing I forgot to mention, is we also go through self-defense and some basic tactics that a teacher can use if they're unarmed. And it's a last resort because, as we've said, they're there to kill you. So the biggest point of this is I wanted to give the teachers a taste of enough of these things that, you know, they have a better understanding of what it takes, what their level is, and maybe that aha moment going, I need to spend some more time doing this, you know? So for instance, this has happened on a couple occasions. One in particular, this cute little teacher, sweetest little old lady you could ever imagine. She's going through the class and we go through the hothouse scenario. This is the live fire and you've got a silhouette target that, you know, it's got a bad guy holding a little kid about, kid standing about waist level. And she shoots and the round goes right into the little kid, right on the target. So for me, this is the whole point. Of course, she's devastated. But this is the whole point. It's not you can't just go buy a gun and take it to school and you're going to, you know, everything's going to work out right for you. You've got to put the time in to train and know how to use that weapon and be proficient. If you're going to shoot a gun in a school full of kids, you better know what you're doing.
Right. I absolutely was going to hit on that. I mean, 20 hours, it's something, but you're not going to walk out of that ready to operate as a, you know, on the SWAT team. So, do you guys have any plans for expanding the course to more, I don't want to say advanced, but maybe more of a continuing revolving form of education? Have you talked about
that? So the answer is yes. The reality is we haven't been able to do it. We started this class, it's been a couple years ago. COVID came in last year and of course wiped out everything we were doing along with everybody, what everybody else was doing. So our plan was to have retrainers to be able to bring these teachers back up and say, hey, teachers, today we have an open range day. I've got, you know, instructors on the range. We're going to go over these things if you want to come up. We still plan on doing that. A lot of this is resources and availability. You know, it costs us to put the school on. I haven't passed that cost on to the teachers. I do ask them for $20. $20 really doesn't mean anything to us. Honestly, the $20 was, I just felt like that was enough money that if I paid $20, I'm going to go to the class, right? I got a little skin in the game here. Yeah. So I've reached out. I've got some people that are helping us do fundraisers. I've got a group that we organize called the Utah County Sheriff's Honorary Colonels, who are a nonprofit. And one of their major missions is to do fundraisers to help us run more Teachers Academy classes.
Nice. Our agency had, I think it was the same type of simulator. It sounds exactly the same where, you know, it's almost 360 degrees, very immersive. It's great training. And, you know, I was wondering about whether you guys would be able to do that as well, not just range days, but, you know, scheduled days where, you know, the simulator is available for teachers to come back in and get more time in the simulator. Does yours have the feedback, the shock thing?
It does. We didn't put that on the teachers. I mean, I guess if they really wanted it, we'd put it on them. Most of them, we explained it to them and they're like, I don't want to do that. So I can tell you this, there would be some teachers that got feedback.
Yeah. Oh, I'm sure. that's awesome. So yeah, I think, you guys are on the right track. I think that what you guys are doing, and I'm sure there are others as well. You guys kind of popped on my radar, so you were the first up to bat to come on the show. But what do you think, as far as what you guys are doing, what can we take from that and kind of use it as a lesson or as an example for the rest of the country? I mean, obviously, certain areas are never, in our lifetime, never going to go for anything like this. But there are a lot that would if they saw that others were doing it successfully.
Yeah. So that's a hard question, because politics comes into it, right? Like you say, yeah. In certain parts of the country, they'll never do it. Mm. I think getting away from politics and focusing on the problem, not the politics of the problem, focusing on these are our kids. What can we do to keep them safe? They don't have to be victims. Our teachers don't have to be victims. It's okay to train them how to defend themselves. We're not training them to be police officers. So I think if we can work on those things, if we can realize that the gun necessarily isn't the problem, the people are the problem. I think as we look historically back on these, we see a lot of these active shooter situations where the active shooter, you know, they prey upon the weak. They prey upon the defenseless. They prey upon the most vulnerable in our society. Well, I think it's okay that we work on making them not be the most vulnerable. And including in that, there's so many things. You know, you talked about bringing in some of these technology, like these applications that we can use to help teachers communicate with law enforcement more quickly. We've given in one of our districts in our county, you know, they all have a radio in their school that one of our radios that they can get on and talk directly to dispatch. There's things like that we can do. There's all these things, even in frustrating to me, I don't know if you've had this experience, you go into some of these newer schools and tactically, you know, if we're teaching schools to lock down, well, why are we building schools that, you know, the whole wall of the classroom is glass? Right. You know, if we're teaching lockdown, then I know we want our schools to be pretty, but they also need to be safe for our kids. So let's design them so we can keep those kids safe in that lockdown situation.
Right. Yeah. The political side is, I think, the biggest stumbling block. And that's why I went to that area of, you know, asking you if there are any things you would change in your law, not because I agree with the idea of further restricting Second Amendment rights, but because to get a law passed in certain areas of the country, you will have to make, the legislature will have to make certain concessions, right? They will, it might make it more palatable to certain people who are kind of like, I don't want just like some Joe Schmo walking into my kid's school, whether it's a teacher or not, with a gun, unless they've proven that they're, you know, at a certain level of proficiency, right? So that's kind of where I was going with that earlier. It's just that's playing the political game. And for me, first of all, a lot of these states are completely restricting that Second Amendment right? Right. Most states in the union do not allow even concealed carry permit holders to walk into a school with that concealed carry. I came from a state, Nebraska, that doesn't, which I'll admit my own ignorance in this area. I didn't realize that the federal law that creates gun-free zones allows concealed carry permit holders into those zones, into schools. I didn't realize that. And that is actually the states that are going above and beyond that and restricting that right. So you're correct in saying that adding those kind of provisions to a law like that does further restrict that right. But if you're coming from a state where you already have no right to carry, or the law bans you from carrying, even though you have the right constitutionally, it's a step in the right direction, at least.
And I agree with what you're saying 100%. I am all for training. You know, like I said before, if you're going to carry a gun, regardless of, you know, you take it out of the school situation, just if you're going to carry a gun, you should know how to use that gun and have proper training. I think that's the responsible thing to do. And I agree. If you're, you know, if we're talking about a state that's what it takes to get a concealed law passed, then I think that's a very reasonable measure. And the reality is training is good. You know, if you don't know what you're doing and you bring a gun to a situation, you may just become the liability in that situation. It's important to have that training to back you.
All right. And speaking of liability, one of the things that I kind of glossed over or missed earlier is that, or really a question is, how has this changed, rather, how you're instructing or training your deputies to respond to an active shooter in a school? Because you know that you have teachers in there that are armed and that potentially there's going to be the shooter, but also teachers that are armed and fighting back. How is that come into calculations with your policy?
Yeah, so that's a real concern. The last thing we ever want is for a teacher to be mistaken as a bad guy or a teacher to shoot an officer, vice versa. You know, so we do go over those with our teachers. We talk about those situations. We talk about what to do when they encounter law enforcement, to do what law enforcement says, to put that gun down, to put your hands up, because that's the reality. That's what law enforcement is going to be telling you to do. And again, we instruct these teachers, you know, we do instruct them in run, hide, fight, just for the fact that I fully believe in the lockdown procedure that most schools are teaching. But the reality is you may find yourself in a situation where lockdown doesn't work. You may be in a part of the school where you just don't have that opportunity to lock down. So what are you going to do? What's your plan A? What's your plan B? So we go over those things with our teachers and talk about the reality is, we're not teaching you to go and be the officer and chase down a gunman in your school. I don't want that. I want you to lock down, to run, to whatever you need to do, fight as your last resort, but to get secure and to wait for us to come and defend your area that you have now secured. And that's what we're asking them to do. It's difficult because the schools, you know, we bring up liability. The school, there's a lot of liability there. That's why the schools are saying, hey, we don't want to know about this. You know, the districts around here, they're not actively part of this, but they support it, but they can't officially say, hey, we support it, because liability wise, the reality is if a teacher brings a gun to school and something happens, that liability, the school is probably not going to cover them on that. In fact, I know they won't. And that's part of the things I teach the teachers in this class is be aware that if you bring a gun to school under your school policies, you might be kind of on your own out there. If, you know, you do something and a lawsuit comes later or whatever happens, you know, legally, you're kind of on your own island here.
Right. It definitely an important consideration. And there are insurance policies you can get out there related to that specifically, and that might be a good option. It's unfortunate that the teacher's going to have to foot that bill, but the world that we live in, so deal with it as it comes. Sheriff, thank you so much for taking the time.
Absolutely.
I think we've covered the program pretty well. I love what you guys are doing, and I hope that other states kind of take notice. And I think, you know, again, going back to my own ignorance on this issue, I think a lot of, if I didn't know, vast majority of Americans don't know that restriction for gun-free zones, if you cannot carry in a school in your area, it is because the state has restricted it, not the federal government. You know, we focus on the federal government's, that's where all the media attention goes. That's what everyone's always talking about. What's the president doing? What's the Senate doing? But on this issue, it's your local government that's restricting that right and enforcing a law that creates this situation where your kids are defenseless. So that's a fight you can take in your local community. And my state, Nebraska, there's no reason we should have that law in place. I know Nebraskans, they don't agree with this. And if most of them knew that it was a state issue, not a federal issue, I don't think that law would be in place. So
it sounds like it's time for them to talk to their state reps and state senators and get that changed.
Yeah, absolutely.
You know, I think, you know, as you wrap up, I think a lot of people, you know, I've heard this, you know, this couldn't happen here. You know, we have a good community. Well, the reality is there's all sorts of beautiful, wonderful communities around our nation and the world that said the same thing. And we all think, you know, the word that really bugs me the most is hope. We hope it doesn't ever happen in our area. Well, I hope the same thing. But the reality is hope is a terrible strategy. If that's your strategy, is we hope it never happens, well, you've set yourself, your school, whatever it is, up for failure, because we've got to do better. We owe it to our kids. We owe it to our teachers. We've got to do better. I've said this a couple of times. We can't expect them to just be a victim. You know, I don't know if you've studied, I'm sure you have, active shooter situations around the nation. And, you know, when an active shooter comes in, laying down and playing dead is not a good strategy. They're there to hurt and kill you. And that's what they do. They make that playing dead real. And we owe our teachers and students more than that. They deserve to know how to defend themselves.
Absolutely. Hope is not a valid strategy. It's like getting into a car and saying, I hope I don't get into an accident, and not putting your seatbelt on.
Right.
It makes no sense. Great point. Sheriff, thank you so much for your time. I don't want to take up too much anymore. But if there's anything you need to get out in the future, you're more than welcome to come on the show. But we love what you're doing there, and I hope that it serves as a good example for the rest of the country. So
thank you, and thanks for your time.
Hope is a terrible strategy. Wise words from Sheriff Mike Smith over there in Utah. Sheriff, thank you again for joining us today. Thank you if you're listening, for listening to the show. We appreciate you. If you're a member, we appreciate you that much more. And if you're not, go check us out. You can subscribe over at patreon.com, patreon.com, spelled like it sounds, Patreon. And there you will find three different levels of membership, all the way from, hey, I just want access to full-length episodes and your community chat service, etc. For such a small amount, trust me, if you notice this in your bank account every month, then do not subscribe, because you are broke. You are broker than broke. We go from that all the way up to the top tier, where you get our Tumblr 2.0. It's very Murica, so you better go check that out. And of course, every level gets merchandise discounts. If you go to our store, and everyone gets community access to our chat service. Of course, you can also get full length episodes, early release episodes. There's a lot to get over there at Patreon by subscribing to the show. So go check it out, patreon.com. You won't regret it, I promise. All right, that's it for this one. We'll see y'all next time. As always, do good, be strong, stay free.